Blog Talk Radio.
You are my protector, and you are my provider, and my deliverer. There's no other.
Stevie B's Media Production presents What a Word from the Lord radio show. I'm your host, Stevie R. Butler. This radio show is dedicated to spreading the truth of God's word, rightly dividing the word of truth. We're grateful that you are tuning in to our radio broadcast this evening. This radio show is brought to you by loving and faithful members of the Churches of Christ. We would ask you to take out your Bibles and study along with us. We have a very exciting show planned for your spiritual enlightenment and your edification. If you'd like to contact us while we're on the air this evening, give us a call to the live show at 713-955-0508. If you have any questions or comments for any of my guests or co-hosts on this radio show, you can send me an email to srbutler1009@yahoo.com. You can give me a call to the Carolina studio at 910-491-6405. Now, again, this program is brought to you by members of the Churches of Christ. And if you need any assistance in locating a congregation in your area, please feel free to contact us. Now, folks, get out your Bibles and study along with us here on What a Word from the Lord radio show. Broadcast. Stevie B's Media Production presents What a Word from the Lord radio show. I'm your host this evening, Stevie R. Butler, and this radio show is being broadcast from the Carolina studio in the great state of North Carolina. Ladies and gentlemen, we're just grateful for the privilege to be able to bring you a program where we as Christians and members of the Churches of Christ can share our faith and preach and teach the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ on a weekly basis. So before we go into our program for this evening, I would ask that you would bow with me in a word of prayer that we may thank God for this opportunity. Our most kind, gracious, loving Heavenly Father, the Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for allowing us to go through the various activities of the day and placing it on our hearts that we are on this broadcast and we are prepared now to present a portion of your holy and divine word. Father, we pray that you will be with my special guest speaker and my co-host on the show this evening as they break unto us the bread of life. And we also, my special guests in the community corner as they serve our communities as well with their various talents and gifts to uplift our neighbors. We pray that you would bless them and their families that support their efforts as well. Father, we pray that you would bless our listeners this evening. We pray that they may listen well and that they may consider their eternal stance before you and their hearts may be pricked that will cause them to ask the question, what must I do to be saved? Father, we thank you so much for sending your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. We're so grateful for his precious sacrifice on Calvary's cross. Without his sacrifice, we would not even have a hope of eternal life. Father, even now, we ask that you would forgive us for the transgressions of our own heart. We know that our flesh is weak, and we often fall short of your will to bless us and love us and keep us all the days of our lives. And if we have been faithful until death, Father, we pray that you would save us. For it's in Christ's name we do ask it all. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in to the broadcast. The first segment of the show this evening, my special guest will be DJ Barnes. He serves with the MLK Drive, MLK Jr. Drive Church of Christ in Sulphur Springs, Texas. Looking forward to hearing a word from Brother Barnes on the broadcast this evening. And then in the second segment of the broadcast, my special guest in the community corner will be one of my co-hosts from the Five Guys in the Bible radio show that I started a few years ago, Darius Moore. Looking forward to him and his wife, Carlene, being on the show this evening. And then my co-host from the Gospel Light radio show, Robert Lee Johnson, that powerhouse of a gospel preacher out of the state of Georgia. He'll be joining us on the show this evening as well. He'll be standing in for my co-host, Edward Bishop, from Niagara Falls, New York. You know, Edward is getting ready to make a mission trip down to Haiti. So he's getting his stuff together. He's getting ready to go. So we're looking forward to hearing his report when he comes back from Haiti. All right, ladies and gentlemen, open your Bibles now and open your minds, and let's have a great show. After the break, the next voice you hear will be that of my special guest speaker, Brother Denard Barnes out of Sulphur Springs, Texas. Enjoy the show.
When God says no, and we won't listen to the end,
just remember,
don't forget,
Father knows,
Father knows
what's best. When I lay awake at night, with tears streaming from my eyes, I remember,
God
knows,
God knows
what's best. The midnight hour, I was crying and all alone, waiting for an answer. All my hope gone. I even called on my best friend, and she could not be found. Lord, you said you'll never leave me nor forsake me. Lord, where are you now? So I went to church the next Sunday morning, looking for my breakthrough. I knew a change would come if I just hold on, 'cause God's word is true. But then the preacher said something, and it took me by surprise. Sometimes God says no, but just like Job, you gotta trust him. When God says no, but when the preacher said it, I didn't quite understand. He said,
don't forget,
just trust your Father, 'cause he knows what's best. When I lay awake in the middle of the night, with tears streaming from my eyes, I remember, Father knows.
Yeah.
Cause he knows,
God, he knows.
Father knows
what's best.
And I start to feel a little better, cause he started talking about my Jesus and the Garden of Gethsemane, and how we prayed to the Father, let this cup pass from me. Then he did just like me, y'all. Said he went to his best friend, and his friends let him down. He said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Where are you now? You see, sometimes God is moving, and we don't understand. See, Jesus paid the cost when we were lost, and it was all a part of God's master plan. So when you're waiting for that answer, and God says no to you, just go ahead and shout,
hey,
and have no doubt,
I trust your
that the Father knows
hey,
more than you. When God says no, 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 no.
See,
it's not in man that walketh to direct his own steps. That's why I'm trusting in your Father. So when I prayed for that job,
I
and I never get the call, and you prayed
yes,
for that sick loved one, and they've gone on
hey,
to that eternal
home.
Nothing left. Just put it in the hands of the Father. And remember, no matter what it is or what it looks like, God, he knows.
God,
yes,
he knows what's best.
You're listening to What a Word from the Lord radio show. Now my special guest speaker, Denard Barnes, and his subject, A Notable Change.
Certainly, we are thankful to God for the abundance of life and the privilege we have to live it. And certainly, we're just thankful and we're grateful to God for giving us all that he's given us, not just today, but what he has given us each and every day that we lived. And certainly, we should have an appreciative heart and a heart full of thanksgiving each and every day that we live for God just continuing to bless us. Certainly, we want to thank our good brother, our brother Stevie B, for this opportunity to be able to say a word that might encourage us, that might uplift us, and just might help us along the way. I recognize and understand that through the times of our lives and through the things that we go through each and every day, sometimes we need a moment of encouragement, something to uplift us, and certainly we can find that in the Word of God. We invite your attention to the book of Exodus, chapter 34, beginning at verse number 29 through 35. Exodus 34, beginning at verse number 29 and verse number 35. And while you're turning there, I want to extend our greetings from the Dallas Metroplex area in particular, but specifically we want to just say hello from the MLK Junior Drive Church of Christ in Sulphur Springs, Texas. And for those who don't know where Sulphur Springs is, it's about 60 miles east of Dallas. And so we want to just welcome you and just say hello to you. And we just encourage you just continue to pray for us as we continue to pray for you, as we just continue to take our Christianity and take our servitude to God to the next level. If you have those verses, beginning at verse number 29, the Bible says, "Now it was so when Moses came down from Mount Sinai, and the two tablets of the testament were in Moses' hands when he came down from the mountain, that Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. So when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. Then Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the rulers of the congregation returned to him, and Moses talked with them. Afterward, all the children of Israel came near, and he gave them as commandments all that the Lord had spoken with him on Mount Sinai. And when Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would take the veil off until he came out. And he would come out and speak to the children of Israel whatever he had been commanded. And whenever the children of Israel saw of Moses that the skin of Moses' face shone, that Moses would put the veil on his face again until he went in to speak with him. For just a few minutes on this afternoon, we want to consider for a subject a noticeable change. A noticeable change. Most everyone would agree that the coming to Christ has a profound effect on our lives. Those of us who have obeyed the gospel recognize that since coming to Christ, their lives have not been the same. We must acknowledge that through our contact with Jesus, our lives have been completely turned around. We've gone from being wretched sinners to redeemed saints. We've gone from being adversaries to allies of God. We've gone from hopelessness to hopefulness. We've gone from being defeated to being delivered, all because we've come into contact with the blood of Jesus Christ. And there's nothing that we did that brought about this change. It must be understood, it must be recognized, even on this afternoon, that we are better for it because of the change that has been brought by Jesus Christ. In our lesson text on this afternoon, we find Moses as he was coming down out of Mount Sinai, and he brings with him two new tablets of stone. And in this situation, and we have to recognize that the original tablets had been destroyed when Moses broke them up in anger after seeing the people and their new God, our golden calf. We remember this story. Moses had gone up to Mount Sinai to receive the law, and once he was there, Aaron had been put in charge, and while Moses was up there receiving instruction, receiving the things from God, the children of Israel got restless, and they went to Aaron, and they said, make for us a new God. And so Aaron asked them to bring all the gold earrings and gold jewelry and all those gold things, and they formed a golden calf, and they began to dance and began to worship and celebrate around that image. And when those things started to transpire, Moses came back. And when Moses came back out of anger, he destroyed the original tablets that had been given to him by God. And God told him to come back up and receive another set of those tablets. And so Moses comes back down again, bringing two more tablets of stone. And when Moses came down, the Bible tells us that something unusual took place. Something unusual had happened. The Bible tells us that when Moses came down out of that mountain, his face was shining. It was not because he had too much oil on his face or anything of that nature. It was because he had been in the presence of God. And it became very noticeable to the point that Aaron and the people would not even approach Moses because his face was shining, his face was glowing, as it were. It was very noticeable what took place with Moses. And we have to understand, and we have to recognize that when God has had free course in our lives, when God has made some changes in our lives, we have to understand that it will be a noticeable change. It will be a change that is for the better, and folks will take notice of that change. And so for a few minutes on this afternoon, I want to look at these verses, and hopefully and prayerfully we'll come to understand and recognize that when God has done some things for us and God has moved and permeated in our lives, there will be certainly a noticeable change. First thing, let's look back at the text. Look at verse number 29 on this afternoon. The Bible says, "Now it was so when Moses came down from Mount Sinai, and the two tablets of the testimony were in Moses' hands, when he came down from the mountain, that Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him." The first thing we want to look at on this afternoon is that contact with God brings about a change. We have to understand and first recognize that when Moses went up, it was not a quick quick go up, turn around, come back type situation. The Bible tells us that he spent some 40 days there with God and receiving instructions from God. And so there he was, there in the presence of God, receiving instruction, receiving information needed, not only for Moses, but for the children of Israel as well. And when he came back, the Bible says that his face was shining. There had been some changes that took place with Moses. The effects of being around God had a noticeable effect on Moses. Moses didn't look the same. He wasn't the same as he was when he had gone up and he had spent some time with God. And so we have to recognize that when we come in contact with God and when we spend some time with God, we will not be the same. We have to recognize that when God is in our lives, when Jesus has free course in our lives, when we come in contact with the blood of Jesus, things are never the same. We don't talk the same. We don't walk the same. We don't live the same way because being with God changes our lives, and it changes our condition, and it changes our mannerism. We have to understand that many of us, and we look back over our lives and look back where we came from, we have to recognize that many of us follow the mannerisms and dictates of this world. We lived a carnal life. We lived a base life. But then when we came in contact with Jesus, then when we came in contact with the blood of Jesus Christ, we went from that carnal to the spiritual. We from being living a life that was conducive with the world, a life that was following the dictates of the world, a life that was following the world, to a life that followed Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus tells us on one occasion, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." This mind of Christ should be in us if we've been in contact with him, if we've been connected with him. There should be a change in us. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 tells us, "Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." There should be a change within us when we come in contact with God. Unfortunately for many of us have come in contact with God, and the same way we were before is the same way we are after. There should be some type of change. There should be some type of difference in our lives. The Bible tells us that when the disciples, when Jesus was arrested and Peter was outside the warming himself up with the other folks there outside when Jesus had been arrested, and he was conversating with folks, and there were folks that started to say, you're one of him, you're one of them. You're one of those ones that had been with him. And Peter tried to deny his connection and his involvement with Jesus. And on one occasion, they said, you have been with him because your speech betrays you. In other words, you talk like him. Your mannerism is like him. It's because he has spent time with Jesus. And so understand that when we come in contact with the Lord, when we come in contact, there should be some change. There should be some visible change unto us. But then let's look at verse number 30. Look at verse number 30. The Bible says, "So when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him." The second thing we want you to see on this afternoon, this evening, is those close to you are astonished by the change. Now, when Moses came down, and you have to look back at this, the Bible tells us that in verse 29 that Moses didn't know that his face was shining. But when Aaron and the children of Israel saw, they knew without a shadow of doubt there was a change. They knew without a shadow of doubt there was something different. They knew without a shadow of doubt that Moses had gone through something while he was there with God on Mount Sinai. There was a change there, and there was a noticeable change, and folks saw the change. They knew Moses had been changed, and we have to understand and recognize that when we have been in contact with Jesus, when we have been in contact with the Father, and we start to live for him and serve him, folks are going to notice the change. Just like I just mentioned a few minutes ago where Peter had been following Jesus and he was outside in that courtyard warming himself. The folks knew that Peter was not the same. Peter had been with Jesus because there was a noticeable change. He talked like Jesus. He walked like Jesus. And so folks are going to notice when there's a change in your life. Folks are going to notice when you don't do the same things that that they used to do. Folks are going to notice when you don't go to the same places that they used to go. Folks are going to notice when your mannerism and your attitude is totally different. Folks are going to notice that. And so you have to recognize that that's going to come because when your light is shining, folks can't help but see the light in you. Folks are going to see that there's a difference with you. Folks are going to see that you aren't the same. You know, there's a times where when one gives their life to Christ, folks that used to hang with them and folks that used to be with them and folks that used to count on them, they don't hang around anymore. They don't associate with them anymore because they're doing some different things. They're doing they're living a different way, and so it's contrary to their existence. It's contrary to the way that they live, and we have to understand this as Christians because sometimes we get upset when friends turn their back on us and family members don't associate because we choose to follow Jesus Christ. But Christ had already warned us of this long ago, that being with him, father would turn from son and mother would turn from daughter, and one's enemies would be those of his own household. We can expect that because we have to understand that spirit and carnal, spirit and flesh, don't mix. And so when folks are following the spirit, it's hard to associate with folks who follow the flesh. And there's a disconnect there. There's a situation where we're doing two different things. And so it's very difficult for that person to associate with you and to live with you. And so it's something that we have to understand that yeah, we're going to lose friends. And yeah, we might lose relationships. But the beauty about being in Christ is you might lose, but you also gain. You might lose some friends, but you gain a Savior. You might lose some family, but you gain brothers and sisters. There's a difference there. You lose, but you also gain. And so Aaron and the children of Israel, they noticed that there was a difference there. There was something that was unusual there. It reminds me of what took place over in Acts chapter 2 when Peter and the others stood up to proclaim the message of Jesus Christ. There were those that were there. They were confused because they said these men are Galilean and yet they're speaking in my particular tongue, my particular language. But they didn't understand that there had been a change that took place with these men. There had been a change that took place within them, and so there was a difference there. There was something a little bit different than what they were used to, and so understand that change. Folks are gonna see change. Folks are gonna see there's a difference in you and how you live your life. And then finally, verses 34 and 35, the Bible says, "And when Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil on his face." But watch this. "But whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would take the veil off until he came out. And he would come out and speak to the children of Israel whenever he had been commanded. And whenever the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone. Then Moses would put the veil on his face again until he went in to speak with him." The third thing we want to present on this afternoon, this evening, is change brings one closer to God. Two dynamics takes place here in verse 34 and verse 35. The Bible says that when Moses would go to speak before God, when he would go into the tabernacle and he would go to speak before the presence of God, he would take his veil off. But when he spoke with the children of Israel, he would put his veil on. You see, when he went and spoke with God, there was no need in putting a veil on because he had been in the presence of God. His face shone because of God. And so there was a connection there. There was a link there with God. And so there was no need in him hiding that. There was no need in putting that away. There was no need in him trying to put a veil on because God, there was that connection there with God Almighty. Now, he had to put the veil on for the people because the people, how his face was shining. And so the relationship with God and Moses had developed even stronger, even though it was a good relationship to begin with, because he had been in the presence of God, because he had not been changed by God. The relationship with God had grown stronger, and we have to understand that when we are in the presence of God, and when we are doing what God commands, and we're in His Word, and we're strengthened and encouraged by Him, our relationship with Him gets stronger. And as our relationship gets stronger, the changes become even more noticeable. That's why we have to continue to search the Scriptures. That's why we have to continue to stay in His Word and continue to live a life in accordance to His will, because that strengthens that resolve and relationship with Him. That brings about that noticeable change that folks are going to see. And folks are going to see that change, and folks are going to notice that change, because you are continuing to develop and grow and be the child of God that you need to be. A noticeable change. Allow God to connect with you. Allow God to change your life. Allow God to work on you and make you better than what you should be. If you're a child of God, then if your life is not in accordance to His will, you need to repent and change and become what God would have you to become. If you're not a member of the body of Christ, you need that change as well. You need to come in contact with the blood of Jesus. You come by hearing the word, believing it, repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus as the Son of God, and you've got to be baptized. It's in baptism that you're cleansed, that you're changed. The Bible says you come up as a new creature in Christ Jesus, and that's where the real transformation takes place. But that's the beginning of the journey, because the Bible says, "Be thou faithful unto death." It's a continuous, ongoing process. It's a continuous, ongoing relationship with Him, so that you can reach that level that you need to reach in Christ Jesus, so you can start to develop that true change in your life, that you can show forth to the world that you are truly a child of God. We want to say to you, may God bless you, may God keep you, and we hope and pray that something is said on this afternoon, this evening, that has encouraged you, that has lifted your spirit, lifted your heart, but most importantly, that you have made up in your mind that you want to make that noticeable change in your life. May God bless you. May God keep you.
Someday I will be called up to meet Him, glad to be ready when He comes.
Come on, we're singing
peace and joy and happiness no more.
Soprano sing.
Someday.
Is your congregation in need of lending for a building or expansion project? As your partner and advocate, Diversified Financial Network will take the time to understand your unique situation and develop a financing solution that meets your specific needs. It's an exciting time for your congregation, and what you need is a company with expertise in church financing early in the process. Call us today at 1-866-513-6665. Or visit us at www.diversifiedfinancegroup.com.
These are the announcements for the events and activities in the Churches of Christ. If you would like to have your events or activities announced on this radio broadcast, please contact us at my business line, 910-491-6405 in the Carolina studio. Or send us an email to srbutler1009@yahoo.com. On August the 4th through the 9th, 2019, the Northside Church of Christ will be the official host of the 2019 Florida State Lectureship of the Churches of Christ in conjunction with the Jacksonville, Florida congregations. The Newbird Church of Christ, located in Louisville, Kentucky, is currently seeking a full-time minister, so please submit all inquiries to the Newbird, COC, at gmail.com. Candidates will be forwarded a job description and application packet. Complete applications should be submitted along with the candidate's resume, references, and doctrinal philosophies, and a sample of an audio or video recording of a sermon. On March the 21st through the 24th, 2019, the Millennial Reach Collaborative presents God's Planned Millennial Reach Conference, and that address will be the Marriott Miami Airport, 1201 Northwest Lejeune Road, Miami, Florida, 33126. For more information and registration, visit their website at www.reach.com. On April the 5th through the 7th, 2019, there'll be a homecoming gospel meeting at the Southside Church of Christ, and that address is 916 County Road, Rogersville, Alabama, 65352. For more information, please call 256-247-3104. On March the 16th through the 17th, 2019, the New Day Weekend at the Athens Church of Christ, located at Lincoln Bridgefoot Park, 815 Westview Avenue, Athens, Alabama. And the acapella group's feature will be Made New Acapella and MIP members in particular. For more information, please call 256-233-5460. On March the 10th through the 14th, 2019, the 2019 NCOCL in Chicago, Illinois, National Churches of Christ Lectureship will be held at the Tinsley Park Convention Center, and that address is 18501 Convention Center Drive, Tinsley Park, Illinois, 60477. For booking and registration information, please call 708-342-5485. And their website is http://www.tinsleyconventioncenter.net. And the theme of this lecture tip will be Identity Theft, Establishing the True Identity of Jesus Christ and His Church. And the lesson text will be Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8. And for a program reminder, Stevie B's Media Production presents, we're airing live shows here on Blog Talk Radio. And the first Monday of every month, we have a special edition that we're doing on the Gospel Light Radio Show. And these topics will be selected from our listeners. And this show will air from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 to 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. On Tuesday night from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 to 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, I'm hosting a live show, What a Word from the Lord Radio Show. And each week we have guest speakers from the Churches of Christ throughout the Brotherhood who are presenting lessons from the Word of God. We certainly appreciate them for supporting this broadcast. Also, we have the Community Corner. That segment is for small business owners and entrepreneurs who have products and services that they're offering to our communities. We just give them an opportunity to come on the show and just tell us what they're doing to serve our community. Also, my co-host, Edward Bishop, he's out of Niagara Falls, New York. He'll be on the show every other week presenting a lesson from the Word of God. Then on Thursday night from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 to 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, I'm hosting a live show, the Gospel Light Radio Show. And on that show, I have 8 co-hosts who'll be presenting lessons from the Word of God, and each week I have 2 co-hosts on the air with me. I'm also taking some questions from my Shout It Out platform on social media, Facebook, and I'm posing these questions to 2 of my co-hosts on that show. And then on Friday night from 5 to 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, I'm hosting a live show, Stevie B's Acapella Gospel Music Blast Radio Show. I'm playing some of the world's greatest acapella gospel music artists on that broadcast. And we have the Story Glory segment where we're interviewing the artists that we're actually playing on that show. And we're also debuting new music. We're featuring old music. Also, we have the Top 20 Countdown show. We're also doing a marathon show. We try to do that show once a quarter. And that's a 3-hour show for whatever artist or group that we're featuring on that show. And our next marathon show will be on April the 26th, and we'll be featuring Eric Gwynn out of Montgomery, Alabama. We'll be celebrating his 30th anniversary singing acapella gospel music. Also, if you're an artist and you want your music played on any of my radio shows, you can send me your MP3 formatted tracks via Dropbox to my email address, srbutler1009@yahoo.com. You can now listen to all my shows, on-demand episodes, through my affiliate internet stations. You can go to Spotify or iHeartRadio or Apple iTunes and pull up my on-demand episodes. You can also go to acaradio.net. You can go to iWay Radio. You can go to mccbroadcasting.com, ivcbroadcasting.com. You can go to YouTube. Go to my YouTube channel, Stevie R. Butler, a.k.a. Stevie B. You can also go to the Church TV Network and see their playlist, Acapella Radio, and pull up those on-demand episodes. You can also go to World of Acapella and pull up those on-demand episodes as well. I want to thank my sponsors for sponsoring these radio shows. Sharon Norwood, she's out of Chicago, Illinois, and her company is Organo, and their slogan is a health product for healthier living. And Bethesda Memorial Funeral Directors Crematory Services, they're out of DeSoto, Texas. And also Yvonne Blazing Cracker Gooch, she's out of Nashville, Tennessee. And Stanley Phillips, he's the owner of A Touch of Class Apparel out of Little Rock, Arkansas. And C.J. Coulson, her company is called Eutherpin Health Institute. She's out of Monument, Colorado. And also Diversified Financial Network, they're out of Dallas, Texas, and they're owned by Mark and Charlotte Curl. So that will conclude our program announcements.
Was no room,
no room in the end.
That's what they told him, no room. Where would he lay to be born? In a manger filled with hay, in a barn. Give his own life for a sinner man like me. But Mary and Joseph couldn't know. They gave birth to the one, our Lord and Savior, God's only begotten Son. That's what they told him, no.
You're listening to What a Word from the Lord radio show. Now, this is the portion where we have the community corner, but my guest has not checked in yet. So we're going to go ahead and let my special guest, my co-host, Robert Lee Johnson, go ahead and do his segment. All right, Robert, it's all yours.
Thank you, sir. And good evening, good people. It's so good to be with you and just to have this opportunity to share the word of God with you and to be a part of this wonderful program. I'd like to thank our brother from Sulphur Springs, who did a wonderful job in preaching the word of God and sharing that good message with us. And but to him, his family, and also his father and his mother, who trained him and led him to the Lord. I met them in Montgomery, Alabama, where he preached there as the minister of a wonderful church. And his mother is just so delightful. Love his dad too, but the sisters are special. The sisters are special, so he has a special mom. Thank you, Steve. Grateful to you for this opportunity. Thankful to God for just the for giving life and opportunity to present the word of God. I'm going to talk about the death, burial, the resurrection of Christ. I'm going to talk about the importance of that to the child of God. Paul emphasized so clearly in his gospel to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4. He talked about, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein ye stand." He says, "By which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures." And then he says, "And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures." The death of Jesus on the cross was a great eventful act that forevermore the love of God for his creation. And so Jesus just went on there and died for our sins that we might be saved. Now, Paul says further in 1 Corinthians 15 and verses 12 through 23. He says, "Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we have found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. You are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, the Bible says we are of all men most miserable. And then Paul continued in verse number 20, if you please. The Bible says, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Oh, yeah. But every man in his own order, Christ, the first fruits, afterward, they that are Christ at his coming. And so the wonderful promise from God that if we manifest the faith, our faith in Christ, that good things are going to happen. May I say to you today, my friends, that it is impossible to really overemphasize the extreme importance of the triumphant resurrection of Jesus Christ to Christianity. Perhaps no hymn better characterizes our Savior's glorious resurrection than Christ arose. Yes, he did. He arose from the dead. He arose triumphantly. He arose instilling hope in his people. And just a beautiful thing to be able to rely on God and his power and the wondrous resurrection by his son. Christianity is the most unique religion on earth because the tomb of its founder is empty. There's nobody there. Don't go there looking for Jesus because he's not there. When people often people go to the graveyard and they go out there and they talk to the dead and they cry and they whine and they're filled with remorse. Many of us are. And sometimes we act like the real person is there. The corpse of the founders of other world religions lie motionless in tombs across the globe, and their decaying remains offer neither hope regarding this life nor approaching eternity. Let me tell you about Jesus. Jesus Christ, though resurrected from the grave, never there to return, and is alive today, whereby he gives us great hope regarding life that now is and eternity to come. We recognize every Sunday death, burial, and his resurrection from the grave. Such a wonderful thing for us to do. And Paul says in the Lord's Supper that as often as you do this in remembrance of me. And so it is a memorial that is set forth to memorialize the Son of God and that we might cast our understanding and reflection upon the Son of God. The totality of Christianity depends on the cardinal doctrine of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, there would be no Christianity. Without the resurrection of Christ, the despairing disciples would have long ago abandoned their post as the apostles of Christ and proponents of Christianity. Without the resurrection of Christ, the New Testament would not have been written, and the Old Testament would remain really incomplete. It would be unfulfilled, and many would find it to be worthless. And so it's just so great that we can talk about Jesus and what he means to us today. Every spiritual promise, the eternal character and nature of God, the deity and authority of Jesus Christ, as well as the saving power of the gospel, rests firmly on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Yes, he died, but greater than that, not having died, if he stayed in the grave, nobody would have been helped. But the resurrection of Jesus Christ proves his divinity and proves that he is the Son of the everlasting God. And so from the first spiritual promise in Genesis 3:15, including the promises made to Abraham in Genesis 12:1-3, and every promise respecting the establishment of the kingdom of God, Joel 2, Isaiah 2, Daniel 2, would be, listen to me now, empty promises without the empty tomb. And so without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our all-knowing, just, merciful God would be a deceitful, fallen idol. Without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Savior would be an imposter. He would be a liar because he said he was going to get up. He would not be the Son of God. He would lack divine authority. Without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the gospel would not be the glad tidings of good news, but rather it would be a colossal hoax on humanity, completely lacking any power, souls that are lost in sin. And so the biblical doctrines of eternal destiny involving death, the second coming, involving heaven and hell, the judgment, and the authority of God rests or fall on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Without the resurrection, there is no eternal destiny of heaven that mortals may pursue by the way in which they live their lives on earth. Without the resurrection, either there is nothing beyond the grave, or if there is a heaven, it is inaccessible, and all souls who have ever lived will spend forever in hell. Talk, Johnson. Without the resurrection, there would be no second coming of Christ. Without the resurrection, there will be no judgment. Without the resurrection, God has nothing to offer mankind, whereby men will heed the authority of God. And so I say to you today, my friends, the saving power of the blood of Jesus Christ, that faithful, obedient one, and the one who came to win countless souls through numerous generations, plus every aspect of worship and service would be void and useless without the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so the resurrection of a crucified Messiah is the corner doctrine upon which God-approved religion has always depended. And so it's not an empty hope. It's not an empty promise. It's not a way that was created by man. The Old Testament always foretold of a resurrected Messiah. The gospel records in Acts tell of a resurrected Messiah. The New Testament foretells the return of the resurrected Messiah. Yes, he's coming again. And so it's so important that we recognize the importance of Jesus getting up from the grave. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ was a primary subject of prophecy. We look at Genesis 3:15. This is the first prophecy regarding the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This prophecy was somewhat veiled and remained a mystery throughout Old Testament times. God's plan of redemption remained a mystery until God revealed it through Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 16. The Bible says, "Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began." And so Romans 16:25. And then the Bible says, "But we speak of wisdom. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden mystery which God ordained before the world unto our glory." 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 7. And then the Bible says, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of his power, unto me who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. That is written in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 4 through 9. In Psalm 16 and verse number 10, this is another obvious prophecy of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy holy one to see corruption. The Apostle Peter, through inspiration, confirmed that Psalm 16:10 pertains to Jesus Christ in Acts 2 and verse number 27. And so Psalm 16:10 remained a mystery until its exclusive fulfillment in our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ prophesied his own resurrection. Sometimes his prophecy was veiled or really misunderstood. Some thought Jesus to be able to rebuild the temple, were it destroyed in 3 days, when he actually referred to his own resurrection from the grave. Sometimes the prophecy was clear and unmistakable, but the hearers were shrouded in a veil of disbelief. For instance, Peter rebuffed Jesus when our Lord predicted his death and his resurrection in Matthew 16, 21 through 23. However, Jesus routinely continued to foretell his death and his resurrection. Matthew 20, verses 17 through 19. The Apostle Paul said the prophets and Moses had foretold of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Acts 26, verses 22 through 23. The summary of the Old Testament prophetic mission pertained to the declaration of the sacrificial lamb. This was speaking of Jesus Christ, that he had to undergo death, but Christ would be resurrected in order to die no more. We find in the Bible that there are numerous Old Testament passages that refer to the resurrection of Jesus Christ indirectly. Verses that refer to the Messiah's triumphant death indirectly refer to his resurrection. Verses that refer to Jesus Christ as the fitting sacrifice for sin involve the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I refer you to Isaiah 53, verses 10 through 12. This is representative of messianic passages that indirectly involve the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is a primary New Testament. Peter preached our resurrected Lord. The resurrection was the heart of the first recorded gospel message in Acts 2, 23 through 24. The resurrection was the thrust of the second recorded gospel sermon in Acts 3, 14 through 15. The resurrection of Jesus Christ was a central theme of the apostles' defense before the Sanhedrin in Acts 4, 9, and 10. The resurrection of Jesus Christ was the heart of the first recorded gospel sermon that the Gentiles had preached to them in Acts 10, 39 through 41. Peter taught the resurrection of Jesus Christ in his general epistle, 1 Peter 1:3 and 1 Peter 3 and verse number 18. The resurrected Lord was the theme of the preaching of all of the apostles. Acts 4 and verse number 33. And I'm telling you today, one of the problems with our preaching today is that we are leaving off that old Jerusalem gospel. We're leaving out that ring of authenticity, that ring of authority. We're leaving out the message of Christ where he got up from the grave, never to die anymore. And I'm saying today we need to return back to it, and we need to share it with people so that they can have the opportunity to hear this resurrected gospel. The resurrected Lord was the theme of the preaching of all of the apostles. The evangelist Stephen preached the resurrected Christ, and that enraged the Sanhedrin, and that degenerated into a mob, and they stoned Stephen to death because they did not want to hear that message. And so the Apostle Peter taught the resurrection. Paul preached the resurrection of Christ in the synagogue at Antioch of Pisidia. Paul preached the resurrection to the Thessalonian Jews in their synagogue. Paul wrote to the Roman Christians regarding the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Paul wrote of the resurrected Christ to the Christians. Yes, he did, at Corinth. And 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 23. There is no more complete biblical discourse on the resurrection of Jesus Christ in a single passage than the context of 1 Corinthians 15. Paul wrote of Christ's resurrection to the Lord's church at Thessalonica, Ephesus, Philippi, and also in Timothy. 1 Thessalonians 4:14, Ephesians 1:20, Philippians 3:10, 2 Timothy 2 and verse number 8. And Paul preached the resurrected Christ before kings and before mobs. He talked about Jesus and his resurrection from the dead. And so I'm saying today, my friends, that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the resurrection of power. The power of the resurrection of Christ originated with Jesus Christ himself, John 10, 17, and 18. And by his own power, Jesus Christ laid down his life. And by his own power, Jesus Christ raised himself. And by his own power, Jesus Christ could foretell his death and his resurrection. And by his own power, Jesus Christ arose triumphant over death, never to die anymore. And so scriptures are so powerful. And I like what is stated in the 13th chapter of the book of Acts, if you please. I just want to read that one. And verse number 30, Paul, Peter is preaching there to this crowd. And the Bible says, but God raised him. Listen to him now. But God raised him from the dead. Acts 13 and verse number 30. And so I'm saying to you, today, tonight, my friends, wherever you are, that you need to reach the power of his resurrection and become a part of it if you want God to save your soul. The power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ is a corner doctrine of the New Testament. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. It's just a beautiful story. Some refuse to tell it any further, and some of us can't quit telling it because we know that without the resurrection, none of us could be saved. And so the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the force that makes the saving gospel effective. The resurrection makes salvation possible. 1 Corinthians 15:2. The resurrection of Jesus Christ vindicates the Old Testament respecting its prophecies of Jesus Christ. One man was talking today on Facebook, and he said, where in Isaiah 7 does it talk about the messianic power of Christ? And I told him Isaiah 7:13-14, that he was to be born of a virgin. He was to be born of a virgin. Who? Christ, the divine one. Nobody else could do that but Jesus. And so the resurrection of Jesus Christ vindicates the Old Testament respecting its prophecies of Christ. The resurrection of Jesus Christ qualified witnesses to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. The resurrection of Jesus Christ makes our own resurrection possible today. The resurrection of Jesus Christ vindicates the preaching of the gospel. The resurrection of Jesus Christ validates the Christian's faith. And so we don't have an empty faith, but our power is in the faith of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so the power of the resurrection comforts the living regarding dead saints. The power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ validates the Christian hope. 1 Corinthians 15:19. And the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ emboldens Christians regarding the second coming and also the final judgment. I'm here to tell you tonight that will be a judgment. I'm here to tell you tonight that we need to respect Jesus and his word. And so the resurrection of Jesus Christ is a matter of faith. It is a matter of doctrine. And it ought to be a test of fellowship for every child of God. And if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, you need to know the power of his resurrection. Paul said it was through the power of his resurrection that therefore we are to see and sense and understand the fact that we have hope of eternal life. And so, my friends, I just want to go on and finish up tonight. I so much here to say, and I can't say it all. My voice is beginning to fail me. And so I'm just going to go ahead and close it out here. But I want you to know that without the power of the resurrection, we could not be saved. Without the resurrection, there would be no church. Without the resurrection, there would be no gospel of Jesus Christ. Without the resurrection, there is no heaven and there is no hell. And I just like to say hallelujah. God is risen. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. There is a Savior. There is a resurrection. There's the beginning of a new day. And so the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the grave, never there to return again, is the only conclusion warranted by the examination of the evidence that we find in the Bible. So easy for people to be unbelievers. And it's so easy for believers to continue to believe. The resurrection of Christ is nothing but the heartbeat of Christianity. And without it, Christianity could not exist. And I just want to tell you, friends, that if you're not a Christian today, you need to pick up your Bible. You need to find you a Bible-believing church like they had in the first century. Those who believed in Christ and believed in his word, Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church. Upon hearing that message, you ought to have faith in the Son of God. You ought to be willing to repent of every sin that you have ever done. Confess him as Lord, if you please. And then you need to be baptized into his body, into his church, out of the world, stepping out of darkness and stepping to the light of God's lovely gospel message that's dependent on the resurrection of Christ from the dead. As I close tonight, there are some of you out there under my voice. You might be saying, well, Brother Johnson, I'm not all that I need to be. And somebody else would say, but thank God, I'm not what it used to be either. If you are an erring Christian, repent and turn to God in prayer. And God will accept you back. If your heart is real, if your repentance is true, and if you just show him that you still love him. And so, if there's fire burning in your heart tonight, find a Bible-believing church and turn back to that great gospel message that's able to give us security and hope, is able to cause us to still rejoice after all of this time. Thank you so much for listening. I trust that something was said to stir something deep down inside of you, that you turn to Jesus tonight and be saved. Thank you, Stephen, so much for this opportunity. God.
Anybody out there, having trials and tribulation, I just want to encourage you, keep moving on. I need somebody who's been through something, help me now.
I've had some ups and downs, hard times in my life.
I've had to wipe so many tears from my weeping eyes.
I know the pain will last only for a night.
That's why I'll hold on till the morning light. You see, the suffering we're going through, it don't compare to the treasures that wait for us all the day. I gotta keep on climbing, though sometimes we make it hard. But we ain't gonna stop till we reach the top. The devil tries to make us think there is no way out. Maybe you lost someone that was close to you.
Maybe you're sick and there's nothing you can do.
Oh yeah.
Just keep your eyes to the sky. When times get hard, keep pressing toward the prize.
Oh, you see, I try. They won't last for long.
They only make them
so
strong.
They gotta keep on.
I'm gonna keep on.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to What a Word from the Lord radio show. What a great show tonight. We're not going to have the community corner. My guests in the community corner hadn't checked in tonight. They're in the state of Alabama, and I'm here in North Carolina, so that something must have went on with them. So hopefully we get them rescheduled for a later date. But I just want to thank you all for spending a little time with us this evening in the study of God's Word. We've had two great speakers on the show tonight, Denard Barnes out of the MLK Church of Christ, the MLK Junior Drive Church of Christ in Sulphur Springs, Texas. He gave us a great message on a noticeable change. And my co-host, Robert Lee Johnson from the Gospel Light Radio Show, he stood in tonight for my co-host, Edward Bishop from Niagara Falls, New York. Robert gave us a lesson on the death of Jesus, and I certainly appreciate these brothers for their participation in the show tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, it's my prayer that these lessons this evening have been beneficial to your spiritual lives and your relationship with the Lord has been strengthened because you're tuning into this broadcast and you've given yourself over to a study of God's Word. So until we meet again, I pray God's continual blessings upon your lives and that He bless you real, real good. Good night, everybody. God bless you.
God has been around. Before the test of the earth,
the
earth is and God is gonna
be around.
He'll be around to judge you.
Word from the Lord radio show, episode 107.
Lord, 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 you sure been good to me.
Lord, you've been good.
I said, Lord, 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 you sure been good to me.
Lord, you've been good to me.
I said, Lord, Lord, Lord,
Lord,
you sure been good to me. And you say,
marching up to Zion, that beautiful city of God. We're marching up to Zion. That beautiful, that wonderful, that glorious, victorious, that beautiful city of God.
Lord, Lord, Lord,
Lord,
that beautiful city of God. We're marching up to Zion. That beautiful, that wonderful, that glorious, victorious.